Hey everyone, thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a personal message, or contacting us at the church office. Praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way through his word. Blessings.
I'm speaking this message today from the New Testament book of Ephesians chapter 6. And here in Ephesians chapter 6, the Apostle Paul gives a final word of admonition and exhortation to the church. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Paul then goes on to describe for us here in this passage where the battle is, what the battle is, and what we as believers are to do to stand in victory. We're told, put on the whole armor of God. Why? So that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. That word wiles there, sometimes the word scheme is used. You might have a translation that uses the word scheme. Because, you know, we tell people God has a plan for your life. Yes, God is a good God. God has a good plan. God's plan is for life and blessing. But the devil also has a plan. And the devil's plan is for death and destruction. And every day that we live, we can just look around in this world and we can see the plan of the devil unfolding as lives are being destroyed. And here's where the battle is. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. We were first told to put on the whole armor of God. And now we're told to take up the armor of God. Put it into action that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. Jesus told us plainly that in the last days, evil and difficulties would increase and intensify. He told us plainly that there would be wars, there would be natural disasters, there would be spiritual deception in this world. He told us that lawlessness would abound and the love of many would grow cold. But I want you to look at these two passages here that I've chosen that I believe describe the times we are living in. 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. But you know that in the last days perilous times will come. How many of you know today that we're living in perilous times? Amen. Perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unforgiving, unloving, slanderers, without self-control. You know that self-control is a fruit of the Spirit. But today you look in the world, people are without self-control. Brutal, despisers of good, traitors. I won't go off into the government on that one. Headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. And then I want you to see this passage here in the prophet Isaiah. Woe to those who draw iniquity with the cords of vanity and sin as if with a cart rope. There are people everywhere, and they're dragging their sin and their evil behavior behind them as one would pull a cart with a rope. But woe to those who call evil good and good evil, who put darkness for light and light for darkness, who put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Someone has said, and I don't remember or recall who exactly said this, but they made the comment that life for the Christian is not a playground. It is a battleground. And I want to submit to you today that the moment any of us say yes to Jesus and we determine, yes, I'm going to follow Jesus, the battle is on and it never stops while we're alive on this earth. You say, well, Pastor, you're talking about being strong in the Lord today, and quite honestly, I haven't been feeling strong. I've been feeling a little weak and beat up lately. I can identify with that. All of us can. There are some bumps and bruises and brokenness in the battle. That's the nature of the battle. We sometimes get dinged. But even if we get dinged, we don't stay down, do we? Because God has the victory for us. It doesn't say here, be strong in yourself and in the power of your might, but be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. I can do all things through Christ who, remember, who gives me strength. The Apostle Paul found himself weak and asking the Lord to remove the source and the circumstances of his weakness. This is what the Lord said to him. My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. And so as Christian believers in this battle of life and the spiritual warfare that we have to go through, I believe there are three things that we need to understand if we are to be strong in the Lord. We need to understand the Christian's enemy, the Christian's equipment, and the Christian's energy. All three of these that I'm mentioning, they're right here in this passage. Under the exhortation to be strong in the Lord. And so let's look at these. First of all, the Christian's enemy. If you don't know who or what the enemy is, you won't know how to overcome. You won't know how to stand in victory. And the Bible, I believe, tells us that there are three major enemies that war against our souls, that come against our lives. Number one, the world. And when I talk about the world, I'm talking about the philosophies, the lifestyles, the language, the behavior that stands against Christ and the Word of God. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against the powers of this dark world. This world is not a friend to you, to help you, to aid you in your walk with God. And that's why the Bible tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. For anyone who loves the world, the love of the Father is not in that person. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, it doesn't come from God. It comes from the world, and the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. Do not be conformed to this world. Listen, church. Here's the call of God today in these times that we're living in. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. I could preach a sermon on that. I need to move on. So you have the world that stands against us. Secondly, the flesh. Our own flesh can be our own worst enemy at times. It was for Paul. Paul said this in Romans chapter 7. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, to perform what is good, I do not find. Thank God that Paul got over into chapter 8. You know, he talks about this struggle that goes on that we all deal with. But then he gets into the spirit-filled life. See, the thing about the flesh, the thing about the carnal nature is you can't train or educate the carnal nature out of sin. It has to be subdued by the Holy Spirit when we surrender to Jesus. Jesus said in John 6:63, the Spirit gives life, the flesh profits nothing. That's what Jesus said. The Spirit gives life. In Galatians chapter 5, it talks about how the Spirit strives against the flesh and the flesh against the Spirit. There's this struggle and this battle that goes on. It reminds me of the man who once talked about the struggle inside of him, and he said it was like two dogs in there fighting. So someone asked him, well, which one wins? He said, the one that I feed the most. If we feed the flesh, if we entertain those things and bring those into our lives, then we're going to be walking in defeat. But when the Spirit, if we allow the Holy Spirit in, and we allow God to lead us and God to give us what we need, we can walk in victory, not in and of ourselves, but in His power. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Okay, number three, the third enemy. Number one enemy, the devil. You know, it amazes me, people that, you know, I don't believe there's a devil. Don't you see the evidence of it? Everywhere. The Bible, I gave you all these descriptions here in the verses. The devil is the accuser of the brethren. He'll try to heap condemnation on you day and night if you allow him to do it. The devil is a liar and a murderer from the beginning, the Bible says. He appears as a roaring lion and an angel of light. He's the god of this age who blinds the hearts and minds of people so that they will not see or believe in the light of the gospel, the light of Christ. And so we have these enemies, the Christian's enemies, the world, the flesh, the devil. I want you to see today that God has an answer for each one of these. God has an answer for the world. Jesus said, these things I've spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation. You're going to have trouble. There's going to be a spiritual battle. There's going to be spiritual warfare in this world. But he said, be of good cheer. Why? I have overcome the world. If he has the victory, and he's in us, and we're in him, that means we can have the victory. Amen? If we'll just exercise that victory. God has an answer for the flesh. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill its lust. God has an answer for the devil. For this purpose, the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. And Jesus said, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you. That includes us as his people, as his church. I give you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions. Those are symbols of demonic powers and activity. and over all the power of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. And so we have the Christian's enemy. I need to move on. I'm sure you want to have lunch sometime today. Secondly, the Christian's equipment. God did not leave us defenseless. God did not leave us on this earth without weapons. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, but the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. We are to put on the whole armor of God. Take up the whole armor of God. There's six that I've listed that we find here in this chapter. Put on the belt of truth. Truth is what holds it all together. Everything in our lives we ought to measure against the truth of God's Word and the truth of the Holy Spirit. You know what amazes me today? You hear people talking, they talk like, my truth. My truth might not be your truth. As if we can make up our own truth. There's only the truth of God's Word. There's the truth of God. Everything has to be measured against the truth of God's Word. You shall know the truth, Jesus said, and the truth will set you free. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Ephesians 4:21, I love that verse because it tells us there that the truth is in Jesus. That's where the truth is. And then you see all these people who are enemies of the cross, and they have a reprobate mind, and they live a reprobate lifestyle. They allow sin to dominate their lives, and then they're out there talking about my truth. Well, one day, everyone will know what the truth is. Righteousness. So we put on truth, we put on righteousness, the breastplate of righteousness. It covers our vital organs, it covers the heart. Proverbs 4:23, guard your heart above all else. Guard your heart. 1 Corinthians 1:30, Jesus has become our wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a great verse. Paul said in Philippians 3:9, that I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own. He's talking about the law. If I just, you know, try to do these things and keep the law, I'll have... No, he says, not a righteousness of my own through the law, but one that's through faith in Christ. The righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. These are the armor that God has given us. Evangelism. You know, not everyone is called to be an evangelist, but all of us are called to evangelize. We're all called to share our faith, even if it's just a simple testimony. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. When you share your faith, it will strengthen you. But the Bible says, how are they going to know unless someone tells them? How are they going to hear unless the word is spoken? That's why we try to invite people to church, because we have a time where we look into God's word and we're here in worship. We pray that God would draw people to the light and to his word. We need faith to be strong in the Lord. Take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all the fiery darts, or most translations say flaming arrows, just like they would take a bow and arrow and put the end of it on fire and fire it off into people to cause damage. That's what the devil does. That you may extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. I wonder today, has the devil been firing some arrows at you? Maybe doubt, discouragement, fear. You're wondering in these days, like, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my job, my business? What's going to happen to my family? What future do I have in this world? And the devil will try to heap all these fears and concerns upon us. But here's the thing. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but one of love, power, and a sound mind. That leads me to this next one, salvation. Put on the helmet of salvation. Get your mind right. Christian believer, you have to get your mind right. You have to know. You have to maintain the knowledge and the assurance of your salvation, not based on how you feel, but upon God's word. I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him until that day. God is so good. Aren't you glad that when we stumble, or he picks us up? He who began a good work in us is going to bring it to completion. Philippians 1:6. And then the last one here before I go to the final point. Scripture. Take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The Word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. And so when, I can't emphasize this enough, I could preach a whole sermon on this. When the world and the flesh and the devil comes against you, speak the word. It is written. That's what Jesus did. It is written. The devil had to flee. Resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. And so we're looking today at the Christian's enemy, the Christian's equipment, and then last of all, the Christian's energy. This is so important because we have to plug into the power source, prayer and fellowship with our Lord and Savior. That's the power source. I want you to see here three words and three kinds of prayer. This is why I underscored those words. Praying always, with all prayer. I was looking to see if I never look at that back screen there, but my wife just got back in. I was just seeing if she was rusty on that. No, you're doing a good job, Jamie. Glad you're back. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance. Strong and victorious prayer. Three things. Strong and victorious prayer is ceaseless prayer. Praying always with all prayer and supplication. That doesn't mean that you're necessarily speaking a prayer. You're living in the attitude of prayer. Prayer is important to you. When you're driving down the road, you're speaking to God and you're fellowshipping with God. Rejoice always. Pray without ceasing. This is the will of God, the Bible tells us. Spirit-filled prayer, not only ceaseless prayer, Spirit-filled prayer. Oh, this is so important. Folks, you know, sometimes somebody says, well, I don't like praying out loud. And I can understand that, you know, it's to some extent. But until you try, you never know. No one cares if you stumble a little bit, if you're just trying to learn how to pray and maybe you haven't prayed out loud before in front of people. You have to start somewhere. But look, I'm not talking about rote prayer here where we just say, Lord, bless me, my family, and the missionaries. Amen. We need to have anointed prayer, Spirit-led. Look at this. Look at this in Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness. See, we can be strong in the Lord when we get weak. He helps us in our weakness. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray as we ought. But the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. I like that ESV translation there, because I like that too deep for words. Some translations say they cannot be uttered. But we need to be Spirit-led in our prayers. And then I'll just share one more before we close the service today. Watchful prayer. Folks, I'll tell you what. I've been preaching a long time, and I've said all through my preaching, the Lord could come back. The Lord, you preach on the rapture and you believe the Lord can come back. But today, I believe we are just totally living in the last times. We need to lift up. Jesus said, lift up your head. Look up, because your redemption draws near. He said, watch and pray. Watch and pray. And that's what we need to do to be strong in the Lord. I have one verse here, and then I'm going to pray. I decided to end this message with Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. Because maybe you're here today and you say, man, I just feel so weak. I just feel like this world has beaten the life out of me, and I'm weak, and I'm tired. I'm just weary. Those who wait on the Lord shall renew their what? Strength. You want to talk about where do you get that strength? Wait on the Lord. Those who wait on the Lord will renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
Thank you so much for taking time to listen to this week's sermon. It's our hope that this resource will grow you in your faith, hope, and love for Jesus. Please help us get the word out by following us on social media and sharing resources just like this. And if today's message has compelled you to take a next step in faith, please let us know by commenting on this post, sending us a direct message, or contacting us at the church office. We are praying and believing that God will change you in a powerful way this week through His word. Blessings.